The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 522. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, in about a week or so, it will be time for the NHL postseason to begin, and I'm excited for it. It's my favorite time of year. And of course, that means I have to invite my good friend Luke Landry to join me on this episode of the show, talking all about who we think has a shot to lift Lord Stanley's Cup, what the playoffs are looking like so far. We even talk about some coaching changes in the playoff format and a whole host of other things. In fact, this season was so chaotic and so crazy that we unfortunately overlooked a few stories like the Detroit Red Wings, their ascension and then fall, the feel-good story of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and, well, I guess they're not mighty anymore. They're the Anaheim Ducks. But anyways, we will cover that hopefully in a future episode. We didn't mean to overlook the Wings or the Ducks or anyone for that matter that we may have overlooked. It's just that there was so much information and so much insight that we wanted to give on the current topics that we kind of overlooked some of those. And again, my humble apologies for that. I would also like to apologize too, because right around the 25-minute mark, I had some technical glitches. It makes the audio a little bit unclear. Cleaned it up as best as I can. Basically, it's the discussion that Luke and I had about the Oilers maybe taking on the Utah Mammoth. Like I said, it's only a couple of minutes, and I hope it doesn't deter you from listening to the rest of the episode. So, but before I jump into that conversation with Luke, I got to thank a couple of my great sponsors. Let's start off with our newest sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about Courtney 614 Deals. If you need great deals on women's fashion, health and beauty, and a variety of other products, look no further than Courtney 614 Deals. You can find her on all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, and Poshmark. Simply look for Courtney, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614 Deals. And again, if you happen to pick up anything from Courtney, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. And now for the old school sponsor, of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. World's Greatest Comics is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era, the golden, the silver, the bronze, the modern era, but they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. If you're not anywhere near the state of Ohio, like Luke is up there in Canada, you can still check out the store. Their online home is wgcomics.com, and you can check them out on their Facebook page. Just search for at wgcomics. I'd like to thank both Courtney 614 Deals and World's Greatest Comics for being a great sponsor of the show. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Luke Landry talking about the NHL postseason. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined this evening with hockey enthusiast extraordinaire, Mr. Luke Landry. I don't know if I could fit any more adjectives in front of that intro, but nonetheless.
That's enough. That's good.
Welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I said off air that this is the weirdest season, I think, especially when you're looking at the postseason. But before we get into any of that, I could not wrap my mind around two coaching changes that happened just a few weeks ago. One last week, and then the one with for Vegas happened a couple of weeks ago. So I'd like to start out talking about this because I don't think I can recall in my fandom of hockey that this has ever happened before, where you have a team like the Islanders that are 3 points out of a playoff spot and they can the coach and replace them.
They have 4 games left. The last one I recall actually was Vegas, who I can't remember who was coaching though. But I mean, they've like, if you can coach that team more than 18 months, congratulations. But I think it might've been the second coach they had. They fired around like 8 or 9 games remaining, kind of like they did this year. And that's the last one, especially if we're talking about playoff teams. You know, you'll see those changes in teams where they all right, we're going to be changing coaches. We're going to be changing GMs. We want to make these things, you know, we want to get these things done before the draft or, you know, free agents or whatever. But playoff bound teams, no, man, the last time was Vegas a couple of years ago, and that's it. It doesn't happen all that often.
I'd like to just point out real quickly that I do get the idea and I understand Vegas switching. Because they haven't had the best record since the middle of January. I forget they were like 5-8-3 or something like that. So I can understand why the general manager said we got to make a change. Okay, I can understand that one. I don't understand how Tortorella continues to get jobs. I mean, he's not the only he's not the only coach that this happens to.
But again, I mean, he's going to be there for you know, a year and a half, and that's going to be it. I mean, that's pretty much his what. It's been his tenure for the last few years, but it's, I was listening to a podcast, might've been earlier this year or last year, where they were going on their 15th year and they decided to go down the list of coaches that they had that had been in the NHL since they started the podcast. So, and over 15 years, there'd been like 50 coaches or so. So you're always recycling the same guys over and over and over, and you're not getting new guys in all that much. It's always the same guys, and the same goes for the Islanders replacing Patrick Roy, but you're bringing in Pete DeBoer, who's I think he's always cashed a paycheck. I don't think he's ever had a season off since he started coaching in the NHL, but it just seems like he's been all over the place. You know, they're always going over this, and GMs the same thing. It's like it's always the same GMs. You hardly see new guys coming in.
This is the one that I don't get, is I don't get the Islanders because, as I said, they're as of today, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot. Supposedly, the rumor is that there was some disagreement between Patrick Roy and some of the players. I understand that. I get that you can have a difference of opinion, but guys, it's almost playoff time. Like, you can't be professional, shelve this beef that you two have for just a few more weeks to get into the playoffs. I know that probably Islander fans are saying, well, if we lose, then we blame Wah because he was arguing with Sorokin and a bunch of other folks. But I don't know. I just think that you're a professional. Stick it out. Work through it and stick it out.
Funny way, I saw the Islanders with Patrick Roy there, and you got to feel super freaking weird to be the goaltender of that team, right? You have an all-star goaltender behind the bench. So I always kind of see it like, okay, you're going to be drumming for the Foo Fighters, right? The head man is Dave Grohl, one of the best drummers out there, but you're going to be drumming for him, or you're going to be drumming for Phil Collins. It just, you know, it's got to be one of those jobs. But, you know, my question for the Islanders is kind of the same that I had for Buffalo when they fired their GM earlier this year, whereas where do you actually see your team versus what's going on in the East? The East is really strong this year. And when the Buffalo Sabres fired their GM, I mean, if you took the team and put them in the West, they were in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like, where do you see the Islanders? You really think they were that bad, or are you sort of stuck with this idea that they're better than they actually are? Or is it just because the Rangers and the Devils had a shit season, you know, because they were supposed to be higher up. They were supposed to make the playoffs this year. So where do you see your team? And that's my biggest question. If you're going to do that, unless it's really, really bad and behind the scenes, otherwise it's like they're not seeing the same thing that we're seeing on our side.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm curious to see if they can piece it together with DeBoer behind the bench, because, you know, DeBoer historically has had kind of a difference in like philosophy than what I'm sure Waugh has, because he's more defensive driven, if I remember correctly. You know, everywhere he's been, DeBoer, it's always been defense first. So to me, I think it'll be interesting with 4 or 5 games left to go. How quickly can you buy into that system if you're a player? And how successful are you going to be, I guess, is the big question.
Yeah. And also you got a shortened season with the Olympics and everything. And one of the complaints I've heard since like September is that they don't have much time to practice on anything. Mm-hmm. You just run a couple of drills, keep the guys in shape, try to work on a couple of different things. So if you're going to step in and try to implement your system, it better be a simple system to teach the guys, because you're not going to be getting a lot of time to work on it.
All right, well, let's get to how we normally start off this episode. Let's talk about our respective teams, the teams that we root for and we love. The Montreal Canadiens looking really strong in the Atlantic. So what do you hope to see come playoff time? Because they're making the playoffs. I mean, I think it would have to be a disastrous 4 or 5 final games for them not to make it.
So, oh, they clinched. They clinched. They're in.
They clinched. Okay. Yep, they're yep, ones yep, yep. that are locked in. Okay, yep. Good. Good deal. So yep, what are you expecting out of them?
If they can make it out of the first round, I think they're good to go pretty far. They're going to be stuck in that freaking format that I've hated for years. And I'm sure the people in Toronto can talk to you much more about that format than I can, because it's cost them round after round. But yeah, they should be facing the Buffalo Sabres. Mind you, all three top teams in the Atlantic have the exact same amount of points right now. So it could shift in the last like 4 or 5 games. But, you know, chances are they're going to be playing the Sabres. So, well, it's going to be a good series. It's probably going to be a very tight series. But it's one of those things where, you know, I would have liked to have seen these teams go further. And you're going to lose one of the two. For Montreal, defense has gotten better, but it's still one of their weaknesses. And goaltending has been back on track, but still, I mean, they're going into the playoffs with two rookie goaltenders. So we'll see. It's been good for them in the past, back in the Halak and Price years. But you know, it's one of those things where they can go far, but at the same time, at least you see the team progressing. So even if they do get kicked out in the first round, well, at least this year they didn't have to wait till the last game to make it. And honestly, they've been one of the most entertaining teams this year. Them, the Sabres, Colorado, those have been the fun teams to watch this year.
So more than likely, Montreal is going to face off with Buffalo. Is that a team that worries you? Playing Buffalo, would you prefer that the Habs play somebody else?
Boy, I don't know. Maybe the Flyers, because I don't know how the Flyers got in. mind you, they might get kicked out soon enough. But no, I mean, you don't want to play the Lightning. You know, you wouldn't want to play, if you were lower in the wild cards, you wouldn't want to play against Carolina either. You know, although I don't know. I mean, over the last few weeks, Montreal has played against them twice. And I did not see a team that seems to be ready for the playoffs. And they've had a history in the last few years of, you know, clawing their way out of the first round, but not being able to make it past the second round. So I don't know. We'll see. What I think might be interesting about the Sabres and Canadiens series, if it does happen, is that you're actually watching two teams that don't really have that much pressure on them. They're mm-hmm. both rebuilding. They've both pretty much outperformed what most people thought they were going to perform. So you sort of get this series where they both want to win, but at the same time, there's no real expectations there. So that should be, I think that should make some fun hockey, not too defensive, but I think it's going to be pretty tight. And then I mean, honestly, they're built quite similar as well. So yeah, it'll be fun to see.
I think it's one of my intriguing matchups. It's the only one I have for the East. That if that happens, Buffalo versus Montreal, I'm real excited to check that out. I think that that'll be an entertaining series, and you know, one that, you know, I don't know if you root for underdogs. I mean, these teams are kind of both underdogs. Yep. You know,
yeah.
Montreal did much better than expected. Buffalo sure as hell did 10 times better than anybody thought they would do. And, you know,
it's got to be because they fired their GM. It's got to be.
It's got to be. It definitely has to be, because there's no way that Kevin Adams was not getting the job done. And Kekalainen seemed to walk on in. And within a matter of a couple of weeks, they were on that, 12-game winning streak, 13-game winning streak, whatever it was earlier on. So
sometimes I wonder if it's the message that goes behind it, because like we were talking about Vegas and how very few players, coaches stay very long in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing the job right, they'll kick you out. I mean, they made Marc-Andre Fleury pretty much the poster boy of the team at the beginning. And as soon as things went meh, he was out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's probably the message over there is, well, you know, if you don't perform to whatever standard that we set for you, you're out. So maybe by firing this coach, because I think now they're 4-0 with Tortorella. So probably the message is, well, if you guys want to stay here next year, better get on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to talk about the surprise for me that was the Pittsburgh Penguins, because I think we spoke, you know, last fall, you know, October-ish, and I was not real high on the moves the Pens have made, but man, oh man, I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, they have put together an amazing season. Dubas's trades that he has made for Sam Girard and Soderblom, the fantastic. I mean, Stuart Skinner is actually a good goaltender. Who would have figured when you have a defense in front of you? It helps. And if he stumbles, Arturs Slivov, I think, has been a very good goaltender as a backup as well. Unbelievable. Malkin, Carlson, Letang, Crosby, they're all playing lights out. I couldn't be any more surprised as a Penguins fan that this is the team that came out of what the chaos was, you know.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, I mean, Stuart Skinner for Jari, I mean, that was pretty much a coin flip. And it didn't look good in the first few weeks.
No.
At all. But, what I was wondering this year is maybe that sort of the energy that the Capitals had last year, and especially trying to get Ovechkin to break the scoring record. You know, maybe if that sort of energy was in the team, where Malkin's probably his last year, you know, that Letang, Crosby, I mean, they're nearing the end, Carlson too. So maybe there was sort of that push somewhere in there. Let's try to get as far as we can with these guys still on the team. But, and at the same time, I'm trying to remember, but they didn't, I mean, Crosby was out for a little while after the Olympics, but otherwise, I don't think they had much injuries. Overall,
no. Malkin's was a suspension for his stupid cross check to the head. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I'm sure an MLB team somewhere called him up. It's like, boy, you want to play for us this summer?
I mean, yeah. But I mean, I also feel as a Pens fan, some of the prospects that we have drafted have shown potential. Ben Kindle, I think, can be a big star on that team. If we can sign Igor Chinnikov, because I don't know what his contract is, but he coming over from Columbus, fantastic addition. You know, if they can lock up some of these younger guys like Sam Girard as well, then I think the future looks bright for the Pittsburgh Penguins, that when Malkin leaves, Crosby leaves, Letang leaves, Carlson leaves, we have people that can step up, hopefully, and fill those shoes that are hard to fill.
Yeah, well, at least over the last few years, they stopped trading away their top picks. So that's definitely going to help in the long run. Even if you are somewhere in the middle of the standings, at least, you know, you're not getting guys that are closer to the second round. And you sort of step into an interesting period to see how well the team actually develops players overall as well. So, no, I think you know, they're probably heading for a couple of hard years, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad as what we saw with, like, Buffalo, for example, or, I'm trying to think of, you know, the Blue Jackets, although they did a bit better this year, but you know, I don't think we're anywhere near that with the Penguins. But and Dubas, I mean, he's probably one of the most creative GMs out there.
You're right.
It would be a plus.
Yeah, because I was very leery of him. I have been, but he's shown that he's got the magic touch, that he knows what he's doing. You just got to figure that hopefully that magic stays around for a few more years.
Yeah, and I think he also has something to prove somewhere, because, you know, you got the reputation of what you did in Toronto, but it became quite clear that he wasn't actually pulling all the strings in Toronto. It was pretty much the Shanahan show. So, you know, and you saw some of the things that he'll do with contracts and whatnot, that, okay, that's the part he was doing in Toronto. But now how can you play around with the players that you have right now to make your team better, you know, short term or long term or whatever. But I think he's probably one of the craftiest ones out there.
And speaking of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have been eliminated from playoff contention, and I'm sure that brought a smile to your face.
sure. But no, it's sort of what I saw a lot coming out of Toronto was sort of like realizing what they already knew. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just from the moment that they shift the captaincy from Tavares to Matthews, that was sort of weird. You know, and then I get why Marner didn't want to be traded. His wife was about to give birth and all of that. But you had opportunities to move him maybe earlier. You didn't. You had opportunities to move Nylander. You didn't. And they never, I mean, their best defenseman this year was Ekman Larson. And he's good, but he's like 36.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were banking a lot on Tanev. I love Tanev. I love him as a defenseman, but he shouldn't be on your top two defensemen. You know, he's a good third, maybe fourth. Really solid guy, really defensive guy. But, I mean, those two guys weren't going to completely change your defense. And, you know, Wall has been okay. Storlars has been maybe subpar compared to what he was doing in Florida. So, I mean, you didn't get better in the net. You didn't get better on D. You lost a 100-point player. I mean, it wasn't going to end up good for them this season. Maybe not as bad as what happened, but, I mean, when you sort of looked at what was on the ice at the beginning of the year, you kind of go like, well, you guys lost a lot. You didn't get better where you're supposed to get better. I mean, how can you still say this is a championship team? You can't. You didn't get it done when you had the big guns. Now you lost one. You can't stop the puck from going into your net. Where are you going to go with this?
I think it's something that we've said many times on the show, is that it seems with them, it's the same thing year after year. They never fix any of the problems. They put a Band-Aid on what is a gunshot wound, and they hope that, oh, okay, that'll be fine. And
well, like you said, with Stuart Skinner, all of a sudden he has a better defense in front of him. He's doing better. Anderson was the same thing. When he got to Carolina, it's like, oh, he's actually a decent goaltender. Well, yeah, well, when you got some guys in front of you that are deflecting pucks, or at least keeping, you know, lowering the shot total on you, it helps. So, and I guess they never went to the concept of, you know, you got to give some to get some. They never wanted to split their core four. Well, I mean, you had to try to get your D better. I mean, it was just logic. You had to do that, and they never wanted to do it. So they end up where they are now, and even worse off, because they traded a whole bunch of their first round, second round players picks over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have much coming into the draft this year nor next year. Mm-hmm. So it's not looking too good in Toronto. And they're not too happy over there. And even right now, they're like, now they started winning a little recently, and like, they can't even tank properly. So you can't win. You can't tank. What are you doing? You know?
Well, you know what? Let's talk about another team that maybe was a surprise for some folks. Not to me. I got to be honest. I always feel like that when you talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning, you always have to consider them. I think some people wrote them off. You know, they're too old, quote unquote. They've really proven that they still have quite a lot of gas in the tank yet, and I think that they're going to do some major damage in the playoffs. What do you think about the Lightning?
If they can keep it low scoring, I think they can probably have a chance. They're one of the teams this year, because there was a lot of talk, especially in the West. I'm sure we'll get to it afterwards, but you have teams that if you take out overtime wins and shootout wins, they're actually under 500, and Tampa is not that bad, but Tampa, out of their 48 wins, they have 39 regular wins, right? So you're almost 10 wins into overtime. Four of them that came in a shootout. So they sort of benefited from that extra point system that a lot of people have started to complain about over the last few years. That being said, I mean, 102 points. They're top of the Atlantic right now. So we'll see. I think it a big part as well depends on Vasilevsky, how he's going to be doing, because he's been a little shakier over the last few years. So we'll see. But yeah. And again, I mean, I wonder how much pressure they actually have as well, considering that they didn't have particularly good seasons of late. So yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. It's tough. And seriously, in the East, I mean, the only team that I think actually has pressure to win is Carolina. Otherwise, everybody's there and just fucking we'll try to do our best and that's it, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? I think that we talk about the playoffs format and they always talk about rivalries. We're not going to have one of those rivalries because Tampa will not be seeing Florida's. Florida had a hellacious year, which we predicted that last fall. No Barkov. Tkachuk missed a lot of time. Marchand, they put him on IR a few weeks ago. They've had a terrible season. But again, it goes to show you that when you go to those finals year and year and year in and year out, it wears on you. And eventually you got to pay the piper, as the old saying goes.
Yeah, no, it takes a toll on you. Especially your core guys. I mean, even Bennett had an okay season. But it's been rough. And we were talking about Tampa. I mean, I'm curious to see how they handle it with less and less of Hedman, because he's really banged up ever since he had that back surgery. I mean, it's been pretty hard for him. So you're missing those top guns, and even Bobrovsky wasn't up to par this year as well. So, but most of those guys are coming back next year. So have a long summer off, recover, and get back at it next year.
Let's go to the West. You mentioned it. Let's talk about it. The West, which I think is a weaker conference. I feel like the competition there was pretty much kind of not very stiff. I feel like there's only some really powerhouse teams in the Central. Let's just be honest. Minnesota, Dallas, and Colorado, they're juggernauts. But I will say that we do have a very interesting matchup, supposedly, if it happens this way, is Edmonton taking on the Utah, the Mammoth. I think that there's a real, real big intrigue on how, if that series happens, how it's going to play out.
Fun thing, as I was going through the standings, Utah is the only team that did not go into a shootout this year.
Really?
0-0. They've never gone to a shootout.
Okay.
So I thought that was just interesting. Everybody's like 5-2, 8-0 and whatever. And they're just like, fucking no, we either lose or we make it all the way. And that's it. You know, we don't like shootouts.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I mean, for a team that's on the rebuild, I mean, they have a pretty good away record over here. I mean, 21-16-3 for a team, yeah, that's on the rebuild and everything. That's extra money in the bank for them.
Well, and I think that they really helped themselves out at the trade deadline getting Mackenzie Weegar, who I think is a very solid defenseman. And obviously, things in Calgary are not good. Adding him, already you got Sergachev as well, John Marino. You got a solid D core. I think the only question mark I have for Utah is the goaltending. Like, if Vermelka doesn't do real well, your backup is Vitek Vanacek is not a very good goaltender.
Well, he's better than me. I think it's interesting to see just, you know, as part of a rebuild where they are and how they'll fare with this. The way they're building, they sort of remind me how Nashville was, you know, constantly working their team, where it's really a lot about working the D, working the back end a lot. I haven't seen them play a whole ton this year, but the games that I have seen, they have a solid team game, which is probably why they've been able to claw their way into the playoffs. Mind you, again, I'm looking at the stats here and they're plus 31, whereas the next teams going into the wild card, they're all in the red. They're all negative. So they have been scoring quite a bit.
Well, and I just think it makes it very interesting for Edmonton because Edmonton, as much as they have tried, they, much like the Toronto Maple Leafs, have not addressed the issue that it is barring them from reaching that Stanley Cup. Bad defense, terrible goaltending. We're going to rely on McDavid and Draisaitl. That's not doing it. That's not doing it, Stan Bowman.
No. And even last year, I was surprised they were able to make it all the way to the end. It's I don't know. I mean, they also flipped the coin with Skinner and Jari. Didn't work out as well for them. But again, you know, I mean, you don't have much of a defense in front of you, so that certainly doesn't help. Whereas Toronto, when I'm looking at Toronto, I'm thinking that you do have players that you could trade to go get very good players that could help you out on the back end. I don't see much of that in Edmonton. You know, once you've gotten through McDavid and Draisaitl and maybe Hyman, I mean, there's not much left there that's going to be very interesting that you can say, okay, I'm going to trade this guy maybe with a pick and go get like a top three defenseman, a defensive defenseman. You got a defenseman that can score, but, you know, he's got to be able to back check and help out. But, I have a hard time seeing what they could package together to try and go get that. Whereas Toronto has assets, I don't think they have as much. And maybe that's why they're still in that same position. Because again, I mean, if there's one team that should have made moves this year in the offseason, especially once they were able to sign McDavid and show him, all right, we got you for, was it like 2 years, 3 years you signed, something like that?
Three years.
Yeah. So, and show him like, we're all in. Here's what we're doing. You know, we're getting rid of all of our first round picks. We're going to go get this guy. We're going to sign this guy. We're going to, you know, and just like nothing happened. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. And again, I mean, the problem when they're going to get into playoff mode and they're going to go further than we thought they would, but I don't see them being a championship team. There are too many holes on there.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think Connor Ingram is the answer in goal. I mean, Jari was not from the get-go, but there was a little bit of hope in the middle of the season that Ingram could turn things around and have a decent season. I don't think he had a very good season myself personally, but it'll be interesting to see if they're going to over. I fear that maybe they might also overlook Utah, and I think that would be a bad thing to try, Edmonton. Do not overlook this team.
Yeah, honestly, they're probably going to put out a better fight than what the Kings have in the last few years. Yeah. The Kings, and they're one of those teams where they're not bad, but are they really playoff good? More or less. So we'll see. In Utah, I mean, Utah could be, if they were in the Pacific right now, they'd be tied with the top, with the Oilers and the Knights. Actually, they'd be, no, sorry, I take that back. They'd be first right now because they have one extra game to play with the same amount of points. So, you know, they're sort of stuck in that seat because they have three of the best teams in the West in their division. They're stuck in seventh place. The Oilers definitely have to watch out on that. And we'll see. But it's like repeat every year, right? Just saying the same thing about them every year. And it's one of those things where you're like, man, if we can see it, I mean, the big bucks should see it too. You know, they should do something. I don't get it.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, comic book supplies. They got you covered for your fandom. So stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics.
Well, let's talk about a matchup that I fear, well, under this current playoff format, I feel that this is a shitty lineup here. Minnesota versus Dallas.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome series. I think it is. But unfortunately, one of these teams is going to get bounced out. And if it's the Wild, I just feel bad for them because they had a great season. They got Quinn Hughes. They won that prize. You think that they're going to do well, but Dallas is just so damn good as well. And it's just, this is the problem with this format, is, which we'll talk about the format in a few minutes here, but it just sucks because you're going to lose a very good team so that, you know, you could have a better matchup than like a Utah versus Dallas or something along those lines where it's not going to be so even keel, so to speak. But your thoughts on Dallas and Minnesota?
Pretty much the same thing. It's one of those things. I wish that the format would have been different to see those two teams meet up in a second or maybe third round. You know, it's Dallas for me for the last few years has always been a surprise because they're not fancy. You don't really hear talk about them that much. But when you look at them play, I mean, they're solid up front. They have a pretty solid D core. I mean, Ottinger, when he's on, he's on. I mean, he'll stop everything. You know, so when you watch a bit of their hockey, you kind of figure like, oh, okay, I get why you're that high in the standings and why you're at 104-105 points, whatever. I mean, it makes sense, but you never hear talk about them. So it's Minnesota's sort of the same way. In that, other than the Quinn deal, didn't hear that much about him. But you know that they've been working and rebuilding quietly and going, you know, sort of like, again, like kind of like the Nashville model where we're going to build up a solid D team play and then we'll see where that goes. But yeah, definitely, probably out of all the possibilities right now, that's probably going to be your lowest scoring series right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like both teams can just stop the other team from scoring. So
here's the other thing that I haven't heard about. You mentioned not much news coming out of Dallas. Jason Robertson was a hot topic, you know, going into the into the trade deadline. But I don't think they've let it distract them. Where I think other teams that like a Rangers team, for an example, if they had a star that was going to like that, you know, if Trocheck was a little bit of a higher end player. He's a solid player. He's a great player. Take nothing away from Trocheck. But you get what I mean is if he was a bigger star and they had this contract issue, it would have derailed the season. But for Dallas, Dallas has managed to compartmentalize it, put it on the shelf. We'll deal with it. Well, let's just get ready for the playoffs. And I think that that's something that has to be admired in the NHL, that they can have that focus.
Probably look at their veterans for that.
Mm.
When you have guys like, you know, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin's been in the league for how long now?
Yeah.
They have a very good veterans core. And I think that's what a lot of teams, especially if they have a couple of bad years, that's where a lot of teams err for me, where it's like, we'll get rid of these guys to go get some picks. Like, yeah, but you got to keep some of them around to teach the kids that are coming up how to do the real job. You know, I mean, everybody that shows up has a talent and everything, but it's about the work ethic. It's about understanding what's going on the ice, what's going on off the ice. And with the veterans that they have on the team, I think that's probably it, where it's like, all right, we'll see what happens. But, you know, right now we have a game, you know, we got to play for the season and we just keep moving on and whatever happens, happens. And I figure like guys like Ben and Seguin that, they've seen so many trade deadlines that it's like, come on, guys, you know, focus on this. We can't control what you can control, and forget the rest. And that to me, that's probably where it comes from.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about those guys and their veteran, especially Sagan, you know, had a tough time in Boston, you know, so he can grab a Robertson or a young kid and say, hey, look, you know, this is my experience, blah, 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 blah. You know, as you say, focus on what you can control. And yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, one that comes to mind would be like Phil Kessel. Had a hard time in Buffalo, ends up in Toronto. Things go okay in Toronto, then they go sour. And then, you know, so if you have a guy like Phil Kessel telling you, like, take it easy, kid, don't worry. Okay, fine. You know, if that guy tells me to take it easy, I know he's seen some bad shit. All right, fine. Well, I'm going to take it easy, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the leader out of the West, Colorado Avalanche. I'm not going to say that I was surprised that they've had an amazing season. I'm just going to say that I knew they could have an amazing season, but for me, the big question mark was the goaltending, and the goaltending has certainly proven me wrong, that they are – Wedgewood is as good as a goaltender as he needed to be for the team, and you see it in the fact that they're at the tops of the West.
Yeah, how about that run at the beginning of the season?
Oh, God.
Nuts. They couldn't lose.
No.
They just couldn't lose. I mean, that has to be really hard to coach, though, at a certain point. Like, guys, we got to work on these things. Yeah, well, we just keep winning. I mean, they you know, it's one of those teams where they're able to trade away, like, Gerard and just keep on going. You know, everybody's sitting in the right chair, and that just makes everybody else better. It's as simple as that. You don't have guys that should be on your third line playing first line because you don't have enough depth. Same goes for D. You don't have a number six playing number two. And that just helps all the way through. And it's got to help them, you know, in the development as well. If you're looking at Wedgewood and stuff, it's just, yeah, same there where he's been good. I don't remember him really stealing games, but he hasn't really needed to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's just a nice balance throughout the lineup.
Mm-hmm. And they added things. You know, they got Nazem Kadri to come back at the trade deadline, which helps fill a few of the, you know, down. Now they're pretty solid right down the center now that they got Nazem. And they got Brent Kulak in exchange for that Sam Girard. So they didn't get the same caliber, but they got a solid return from the Pens.
A guy with a lot of playoff experience as well.
Exactly. And a good stay-at-home defenseman as well, which, you know, is necessary. So
I liked him when he was in Montreal. And I think he was one of those players that, because the team knows you, they don't want to try you anywhere else in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't try to bump you up to a higher spot because they figure, no, that's your spot. And then you go elsewhere and you're like, all of a sudden the guy's playing like 20 odd minutes when he could barely break 20 in Montreal. And you're looking at him going, it's like, he's doing the same thing. Why didn't you guys keep him and just put him in that defensive spot? Probably their biggest enemy is the pressure they're going to be putting on themselves. And I think that's what got to them last year. Where you saw when things were going bad, you saw McKinnon start to get frustrated. And if they start playing that type of game, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. But if they can keep a cool head and just go like, no, we're a freaking powerhouse, we're going through this, they'll be fine. But yeah, I think it's really like internal pressure or self-pressure that's really going to be a difference for them.
Okay, we've talked a little bit about it here and there. Let's talk about this playoff format. It's wretched. It's awful. It defeats the purpose because we're supposedly building rivalries, but it's hard to when the Pens and Capitals are the first round, which has happened multiple times, and you insert whatever team. I mean, it's happened to a bunch of different teams. And then eventually, if the Capitals win or the Penguins win, then they go and play Ottawa. And with all due respect to Ottawa, I don't know how many Americans are going to watch an Ottawa-Pittsburgh matchup or an Ottawa-Washington matchup. I just don't. I'm just being realistic. I know you feel kind of the same way about the playoff format.
Yeah, it's. I was talking about it with my boys earlier, and what I told them is, they sort of cheated the format so that if you finish at the top of your division, then you get to play against 7 or 8, depending on where you end up. But like, if you're in the West right now, that's a big freaking advantage. Like the Oilers that are currently number one, that's a huge advantage because they're almost 20 points behind the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, they shouldn't even be playing Utah. Doesn't make sense. And sort of same thing goes here, you know, where we were talking about the Buffalo Sabres and Montreal Canadiens. They shouldn't be playing against each other in the first round. When you look at the conference, they end up being number three, number four. So, you know, logically, the Canadiens should be playing Pittsburgh, which I think would be an interesting matchup. And Buffalo would be playing, who do they got there? Boston, which would be a very good, fun series as well. But you're not going to be getting that. And instead, you're losing very good teams in the first round, year after year. And like I told my sons, it's like, I understand why they did that coming out of the lockout. I get it. Because you're trying to create rivalries. You're trying to get people to watch your product. I understand. I don't think it worked. I don't see right now the type of rivalries like Detroit and Colorado had in the 90s. Yeah, you don't have that. And if the two teams that should have that are the Oilers and the Kings, because they've met up like 4 years in a row. You know, you should see that if that was the idea, if that was the purpose, those are two of the teams where you should see that, and you don't. Mm-hmm. But you see all the time, it's like your classics, Boston, Montreal, maybe a bit Toronto and Tampa, because they did meet up often in the playoffs. But, you know, I don't think that the players, I mean, they play hard in the playoffs, but they're a lot more responsible with what they do, that you typically don't get the nasty stuff that you might get during the season that actually starts your, this is me having to go to rivalry very soon. Rivalries. Thank you. So you don't, I mean, that's what starts it. I mean, it's sad to say, but that's what starts, you know, a sucker punch somewhere, a cheap shot somewhere else. And that's where it starts the build. That's what happened back in the 90s between Colorado and Detroit. So, I mean, they've tried it. I don't think it works. Most people don't like it, but, you know, year in, year out, Bettman says it's going to stay that way. And I don't think it's going to change unless GMs and owners get together and force him to change it, or, you know, whenever he retires, unfortunately. So
1 through 8, obviously, I think most hockey fans think is the best way to go. But would you feel comfortable with a 1 through 16 setup?
Well, the reason that they're probably never going to do that is the traveling. I think that would be the biggest issue. Back in the COVID days, which seems like ages ago now, you know, we ended up having a Canadian division. And it does suck when you don't see your team every 2-3 weeks because they're playing in the West or they're playing in the East. And so you'd have that a lot more throughout the playoffs. So I don't think that teams would be that interested in it because it'd be a lot more expensive and it'd be a lot more complex when it comes to presenting the games on TV. So I don't hate the concept personally, but I don't see it happening though.
I'm not a fan of it because I feel like, which I know there's expansion is being talked about again, as it seems to every couple of years. You know, I know they're talking about expansion, but for me right now, 16 team, that's half the league. So how precious is it to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs when half the teams get there? Like, it just, to me, it ruins it. I wouldn't mind seeing the NHL go to something like an NFL playoff format where the first two teams get the byes and then you let the lower teams. But the problem is, how do you balance, you know, if, for an example, I mean, Colorado and Carolina would be the first two that would get byes. What do you do for the Edmonton, you know, who's at Tampa, who's at the top of their division? How does that work? How does that fit in there into the, you know, 3 through 10 or whatever, if you did a 12 team playoff? I just feel like there's something that could be gleaned from the NFL and the way that they do it that could fit in the NHL. But again, how all the kinks would work out, I'm not sure. But I just think giving and that would maybe make the President's Trophy so much more of a thing because it's kind of a footnote.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you get it. You earned it. But afterwards, what's it really worth?
Yeah. If that gives you the number one bye and gives you an extra few days off, I mean, I would compete for that if I was a team.
Yeah. But, you know, if they go to that type of format, I definitely get rid of the divisions. That for me, that would be out. Again, I mean, if you look statistically, the Edmonton Oilers are getting a pass by playing a number seven seed, which they, with the points that they have, they shouldn't be there. So, yeah, I get rid of that. But I wouldn't mind, especially now when we're looking. Last week, when you wrote to me last week, in the East, we had four teams at 88 points. Same number of games played, 88 points, and I think the first one was making the playoffs. The other three weren't. So if you stretch out sort of like you're doing, maybe have an extra first round and have those bottom teams playing to get maybe two teams out of there and then go on from there, maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it this year. I mean, when you wrote to me, I'm like, who the hell are we going to talk about? Carolina was the only team that knew they were making the playoffs at that point in the East. That was it.
Yeah.
The other teams didn't know at that point. So that's where the NHL wants to go, right? With all the talk of parity and that's where they want to end up. So maybe it would be worth trying to benefit those teams that were, I don't know, like 0.5 out of making the playoffs and maybe giving them an extra chance. That could be fun. Yeah. I definitely like the idea much better than what they're doing right now.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge Major League Baseball fan, but I do know that they have the play-in, you know, they have an extra game where they let the other, like that would be great for the NHL too. Let's have two games that are play-ins. And if you get in, you get in and, you know, do something with that to make it more interesting rather than the top two, maybe the bottom two or something. I don't know. It's got to change because it's not helping the league. That's the bottom line. You're not growing your audience because of this stupid playoff format.
Yeah. In fact, personally, I think you're getting a very interesting first round because you're having so many good teams face off against each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we said, I mean, that Dallas against Minnesota, that's going to be a very good series. And then what do you have in the second round? Well, typically that would have been one of your matchups in the second round.
Yeah.
So you have this very entertaining first round. Then the following two rounds get more or less decent stuff going on. And then you hope that, you know, the both teams that make it to the cup finals, that you don't have one of those teams that was able to fight their way up and that, you know, no more energy, they're dead. It's over.
Yeah.
So a lot of times over the last few years, that first round has been entertaining, but I it's hard to sell your product that way.
Where if you
you can make maybe a mini tournament or something over a weekend or whatever and market that. That's where your playoffs start. And then you get a couple of days off if you're not part of that, where you're in the top teams. You get ready for the playoffs, and they have to fight it out to play you. I mean that I think that you'd have something very interesting to market there, and rather than be in a situation where you have to kick out, you know, two, three of the best teams in the league right off the bat, mm-hmm. and not because you end up having an upset. That's what I was telling my boys. Like it used to be. The fun thing about watching the first round was to see the upsets. It was to see number seven kick out number two. I mean, that was the fun thing to watch. It was to watch those teams grind it out to kick out one of the top teams. That was the fun thing about the first round. And then second round, typically you get better teams. You get better matchups. The games would be tighter. You know, it'd be more strategic. You get that sort of evolution throughout the playoffs. But by kicking some of the best teams out in the first round, seriously, I mean, that second round suffers from it.
Yeah. And then ultimately, interest wanes because, as I said before, with all due respect, there's not a lot of Americans that are going to give a shit about what the Ottawa Senators are doing in the second round. They're just not. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. But, all right, Luke, before we wrap things up here, let's make some predictions real quick.
Be Who fair, do I don't think much of Canada is going to care what the Ottawa Senators do as well. They're like the Canadian version of the Philadelphia Flyers. They're just always somewhere in the middle, and you can't quite understand why.
Well, let's talk about some Stanley Cup picks. Who do you think's coming out of the East? Who do you think's coming out of the West? Who do you think's going to lift Lord Stanley's cup?
Boy, coming out of the East, I don't think Carolina's going to make it all the way again. Like I said, I've seen a bit of their play recently, and I don't like where it is at this time of the year. You know what? I think Tampa's going to make a go of it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm thinking Buffalo Canadiens will probably make their way. Whichever team passes the first round is going to make it far, but I think that probably experience is gonna overcome that. So yeah, Tampa in the East. Yeah.
Like I said, I totally agree with you on that one. How about the West?
It's got to be Colorado.
same here. I'm with you on that one. Got to be
Colorado. If there's one team that's going to benefit from this format, is Colorado, because they won't have to face either Dallas or Minnesota once they reach the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, one of those is going to be out. And again, I see that series going all the way to seven games. So those teams are going to get burnt out in that first round. That's going to be a big advantage for Colorado. Like I said, if they can stay out of their heads, I mean, they definitely have the team to go all the way.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. We both feel that the Avalanche have what it takes to lift Lord Stanley's cup, and we'll have to see how the rest of the playoffs shake out as they're starting here, what, on the 17th or 18th, I think, of April?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, because the last day of the regular season is the 15th, so it's probably, unless they do that weird thing, which they wait till the following Monday to start them, they might do that. I should have looked
it
up.
I don't know. Again, with the Olympics, everything's pushed a little back.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they started like 2-3 days after.
Yep. All right. Well, Luke, with that, anything else you want to talk about real quick or plug real quick before we wrap things up?
No, but we do, next time we talk, we do have to talk about Detroit, because I don't know what the hell happened there. They were on top, and yeah, now they're not even the playoff picture. Next conversation. That's one thing that I've been thinking about. Is like, what happened? I didn't follow them, but they were on top of the East, and all of a sudden it's like, they're gone, man. It's over.
Yeah. I think Todd McClellan's going to be filing for unemployment soon, probably.
Yeah. Well,
because it sure as hell ain't going to be Yzerman.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably on his way out. I don't know how much leeway he still has over there. But yeah, that's one team that I thought they were going to be making the playoffs this year. They were really on a good run, and man, they'd go sour fast.
They did. All right, man. Well, with that, Luke, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me, man. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry, talking about the NHL playoffs that are starting here very, very soon. And I hope that you enjoyed our insight and our thoughts on the NHL and the postseason. So let me know what you think, and you can get in touch with me a couple of different ways. First of all, you could shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can find me over on Twitter under my personal handle of @PVDMVP. And, of course, you can also reach me on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about the show and where they can find it. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But you can also find it at your favorite podcasting outlet or app. Just go to the search bar of that app or outlet. Plug in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And since we're talking about those podcasting outlets and apps, don't forget to rate and review. That helps me out in the algorithm. And don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. And another way that you can check out the show is through, of course, the Facebook page, because every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go, three different ways you can hear the show: through pvdcast.com, through, of course, your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and last but certainly not least, through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the live broadcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the show, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.